The first reading today, we hear something that is truly remarkable to show the ability that the prophet Isaiah has. He spoke about the fact that there was going to be this man who would be raised up. The man's name would be Cyrus. He would become the king of Persia, a pagan. And yet he was the one who was going to bring Israel back. So at this time, Israel was in exile. And here God shows the prophet that he's going to raise up this man and even gives Isaiah the name of the individual. And sure enough, there's a man named Cyrus who is raised up, becomes the king of Persia, and doesn't exactly tell us what happened. He had some kind of vision or something of God, and he said, anyone who is of the Jewish people, you need to go back, if you wish to go back to your own land, and rebuild the temple of the Lord, the temple that had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And so the people came back. Now, what is important about this is not simply the fact that this is all foretold, or even that God knew the name. But what is important for us is that God knows your name. God chose you. Yes, he chose this pagan man, saying, look, you don't even know me. You have no idea who I am. I alone am God. There is no other. Here's what I'm going to be doing for you so that you can bring the people back. So if God raises up a pagan to be able to work out his plan for his chosen people, then we look at what happens for somebody who is Christian, and we hear what St. Paul says. He talks about the fact that for the Thessalonians, how he knows how they were chosen. He says, our gospel did not come to you in word alone, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and with much conviction. We know how you were chosen, just as this pagan man was chosen by God to be the one who would bring his people back to the Holy Land and rebuild the temple. But you have been chosen. And not just to simply rebuild a building that was broken down and destroyed, but as St. Paul says, you are the temple of the Lord. You are the temple of the Lord. So now let's go back and listen again to what St. Paul said about the Thessalonians. Our gospel did not come to you in word alone, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with much conviction. Now ask yourself honestly in the depth of your heart, does that sound like me? Does that sound like you? The word of God came to you in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with much conviction? When the word of God came to this pagan man, he said to the Jewish people who were in Babylon, go back and rebuild the temple. It came in power with the Holy Spirit and with conviction. It changed the man's life. When the Lord appeared to St. Paul, he was rounding up Christians. He was throwing them in jail. And it changed his life. The word of God came to him with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with conviction. How many of us does it go in one ear and out the other? Is there power in the word of God? Is the Holy Spirit at work within me? Is there any conviction? That's what we really have to be looking at. Because even in the gospel, when we hear that we're supposed to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God, well, if you don't give to Caesar what he thinks is due to him, he's going to come after you and get it. But God is not going to force you to do anything. That has to be your choice. But when the Lord asked to see the coin and asked whose image and whose inscription is on this, they said, well, that's Caesar's. When you look in the mirror, as I have my doubts that your picture is on a coin, I haven't seen one anyway. So when you look in the mirror, ask yourself, whose inscription and whose image is this? You are made in the image and likeness of God. It's got his fingerprints all over it. Give to God what belongs to God. You are what belongs to God because it has his image. It has his inscription. It's an interesting thing if you ever go to some of these ancient places. If you go to Rome, it's all over the place, but any of these ancient places, they like to tell you who made it. They'll put whatever name and then it says Facit after it. So-and-so made it. So-and-so built it. You know, here's this beautiful building, and right on the front of it, it'll tell you who, you know, whatever emperor, whatever pope, or whatever it was, this is the person who built this or who made it. Well, God didn't exactly stamp it right on you, but it can certainly say, God made it. God made us in his own image and likeness. And he made us for himself. And he gave us his word. And he gave us his word so that it can change our lives. And he gave us the word of God so that we can receive it in the Holy Spirit with power and conviction. Has it done that? That's a major problem that we have in the church right now. There's not a lot of conviction. Sort of like anything goes. Nothing really matters. Everyone can have their own opinion. It doesn't seem to matter what God says. It doesn't seem to matter what the law is. Nothing seems to matter these days. And maybe that's because we're following Caesar more than we're following God. Do we listen to the talking heads and actually believe what those people are saying? Isn't it amazing that when some of these people on TV speak, oh my goodness, it provides some conviction for us. Why? The only thing I want to convict them of is lying through their teeth. But now we have people who are out protesting and rioting because they were lied to. They're not protesting because they were lied to, but they're protesting because they believed what they were told. God is the truth. God cannot lie. We pay no attention to what he says, but when liars speak, we pay attention. What's wrong with this picture? Remember, there was a priest a number of years ago. He was from England. And I remember what his name is right offhand. He wrote a book called From Playboy to Priest. That doesn't have the connotation that it would have in America. It means a high society, somebody flitting around and going to all the parties and all the other things. Ken Roberts, that's his name, Father Ken Roberts. And he was talking one time about how he was giving a speech somewhere in one of these huge conferences. And he said in the middle of his talk, of course, as it happens at conferences, people are getting up and heading to the bathroom and going to the bookstore and doing whatever, coming in and out, doing whatnot. And he said, so he's talking about the Lord and people are coming and going. Then he said he stopped and he said, now let's change the subject and let's talk about the devil for a minute. said the place went absolutely silent. Everyone came back and they sat down in their chair. When he talked about God, going to the bathroom was more important. When he was going to talk about Satan, it was no big deal anymore. That's what was important. They didn't need to go to the bathroom. They needed to listen to what we were going to say about the devil. Where are our priorities? Who are we listening to? What do we want to listen to? Do we really want the truth? Do we really want to be convicted by the Word of God and change our lives? For a lot of us, that's where the problem comes. We know that if we actually do what God's asking us to do, that means we would have to change. And we don't want to. God, as I've told you dozens of times, wants you to be a saint. You're not going to become a saint without conviction. It's hard for people in Minnesota to become saints because we don't care about anything. Whatever. Saints don't go, about anything. It's yes or it's no. They're convicted. They are about following the Lord. They are about giving to God what belongs to God, which means the worship and the honor and the prayer and the glory and all the things that they were created to do. You and I have been created for the same thing. How much do we want to do that? I realize, yes, we would have to change our lives. We'd have to quit sinning and we'd have to pray more. Think what that would actually do for your life. I know you'd have to lose some friends and you're not going to fit in. And that would actually be a great blessing. Just kind of scary to a lot of us. But do we really want to give to God what's God's? Can think about that for a minute. God has called you by name. From all eternity, God has called you. Put it in perspective again. There are about 8 billion people on the face of the earth right now. God called you out of all of those people. Why? Because he wants you for himself. Do you want him? Is that call? How much does that really mean? Again, we all have to look at that in the depth of our hearts and ask, what does it really mean? Does it just mean showing up for church for an hour and going through the motions and saying, I did it? Or is it really going to be with power and conviction in the Holy Spirit? Do we really want to live our lives for the Lord? Or do we want to live our lives for somebody else? Whether that's for Caesar, or whether that's my own selfishness, or whether that's someone else, who do we want to live for? That's the question all of us have to ask. Even Bob Dylan understood it. Had some goofy song, but he actually spoke the truth, and he said, everyone has to serve someone. Everyone has to serve someone. Who's it going to be? God made you to serve him, but he's not going to force you to do it. The government's going to force you to serve them because they want to play God. God will not force you to do anything. You have to choose it, because the service of God is one of charity. It has to be done out of love, not out of force. And that can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has been given to you to be able to do this. So that's a great challenge for all of us to really look at. Really look seriously into the depths of your heart and ask yourself, if God has called me, Do I care? Do I want to be called by God? What's my response? Have I received that call in power, with conviction in the Holy Spirit? Or do I just let it go in one ear and out the other? The Lord told us to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to give to God what belongs to God. You belong to God. That's what he wants, is you. He wants your heart. He wants your love. He wants you to be in heaven for all eternity. But that's a choice only you can make. He's already made his choice. Now it's our turn to receive the call, to make our choice with conviction, with power in the Holy Spirit, and to truly give to God what belongs to God.